Well, we're studying still in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to actually look into chapter 2 as well this morning, because we're going to look at the example of this man Lot. And this is, as you noticed, lesson number 17, so that means we've been studying chapter 1 for 4 months now, and we're all the way up to verse 10. So there's no reason to be in a hurry. It's all God's word, so it's all good. We might get dull, but the Bible never gets dull. All right, 2 Peter, we're going to start in verse number 1 again, because we need the full context of this matter here, fresh on our minds. So let's read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given. All right, look at verse 1, have obtained. And then verse 3, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given, there it is again, all these gifts, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So look at all that is already done for us by the grace of our God. He's done all that for us. And then comes our part, verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So that's our duty and our responsibility. For if these things, both what God gives and what we diligently apply, if these things be in you and abound, they, see, it's a combination of all those things, make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the contrast, and it's a huge Bible word there, all right? But he that lacketh these things, now that can't, of course, cannot be the things that God supplies. You're not going to be lacking those things in verse 4, because we've already got those, okay? So it's got to be referring to the things that we are supposed to supply in verses 5 to 7. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, see that there's us, notice it's us doing, because God has already done, but there are things for us to do. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. All right, now I'd like you to look at chapter 2, verse number 20. 2 Peter 2, verse 20. And we've looked at this before, but we're going to look at it again. 2 Peter 2, 20. This is the alternative to diligently adding these things to your life. Here in verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. All right. Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to study this chapter in your Bible once again, help us to learn from the example of Lot what not to do, that our latter end may be as good as our beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now you would think that it couldn't be possible for somebody to be worse off in this life after they're saved than they were before they were saved. But the Bible not only says that it can happen, but the Bible supplies in our context, and that's why we looked at the context, so it supplies an example for us to consider. Look at chapter 2, verse number 6. Here's the example. 2 Peter 2:6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample, that's the plural word for example, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Now that cannot mean only Lot, because we know that three other people got out with him. So this is a man who has been justified. That's what it means. He's been declared righteous by God. Just Lot. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Parentheses. For that righteous man. Okay, that's you if you're saved, according to chapter 1. That righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. End of parentheses. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. All right, now let's take a look back here in chapter 1. Look what verse 12 says. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. And then now look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay? So he said, you already know this, that's fine. You've already heard this, okay, wonderful. This is just going to be one more trip around the same neighborhood, and that's what we need. That's okay. Okay? Now, I want you to look at chapter 2, and I want you to see from these verses regarding Lot, and this is important, so listen. Lot did not participate, okay? He did not approve. All right, take a look. The Bible says in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So the Bible does not say that he engaged in the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Bible does not say that he took part in the activities of those in Sodom and Gomorrah who were going to be eventually destroyed by God. In fact, it hurt, it offended, it wounded, it grieved his righteous soul to be surrounded by such ungodly activities. You know, when we think about Lot down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, most of our thinking is influenced by most of the preaching that we've heard. And you just think Lot was out there in his dress and his high heels, marching in a gay pride parade or something. But 2 Peter 2 says that, no, it bothered him. It offended him. It wounded him to be living in such a horrific environment. He didn't like it. Is it fair to say this morning, and I hope it is, that it bothers and it offends you to live in a society where lying and nakedness and cursing and blasphemy and abominations of every kind are the accepted social norm. I hope this morning that it's fair to say that we do not participate, but we are surrounded by it. We do not engage, but it is pressed upon us from every side, isn't it? We don't want it, but it is in our face. Okay, and we don't want to hear it, but it's pouring in our ears all the time. We don't want to look at it, but it's right in front of our eyes. Is it fair to say that standing this morning in present truth, you are offended by this world? And if not, if you're not offended by this world, God help you. And yet we learn from the story of Lot, and we are going to read it in a few moments, that though we are offended by it, and we're even vexed by it, and we find it grievous, and it's very proximity and its relentless pursuit of our hearts and our minds, it really has more effect upon us than we actually realize, I believe. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 8, look at this. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So look at the wording very carefully. They are not his unlawful deeds. He is not participating. He's seeing it. He's hearing it, but he's not engaging therein. Now look, let me just be a preacher here for a minute and not a politician. And I'm going to ask you to listen to somebody speaking spiritual things and not political things. There isn't any way in the world that everybody who voted for example, for America's president, current president, you can't say that everybody that voted for him is for sodomites and perverts, and that they're against our Constitution and against our Bill of Rights. But the constant bombardment of that which is unbiblical and ungodly and unscriptural has had an influence upon people who don't even like it or agree with it. They don't agree with it. You talk to men who 20 years ago said homosexuality is vile and dirty and wicked. Now they're afraid to say that out loud for fear that somebody might hear them. They're not participating. They would never do such things. But they've been vexed to the point that of being influenced in their behavior. Maybe not to the point of participating, but to the point of going along, to the point of trying to adapt, to the point of fitting in so as to avoid conflict. That's what's going on. The Bible says in verse number 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So let's look at this. Genesis chapter 19. Come to Genesis chapter 19. This is the story of Lot. Let me say something that might run contrary to every sermon you've heard on Lot. You know, when he and Abraham stood overlooking the grasslands of Canaan, and there, you know, back when there was no longer room for both of them because God had blessed them both, there was no longer room for their flocks and their herds to feed together because, well, they were so vast, so many. And Abraham, if you know the story, you know Abraham yielded to Lot, and allowed him the first choice, right? And the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. That was not, I want you to understand, that was not a sinful thing to do. There is nothing in Genesis 1 to 14 that says, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not pitch thy tent toward Sodom." You say, "Well, but there's wicked things down there." Hey, guess what? There are moonshiners, prostitutes, homosexuals, and drug dealers in every city in Kuwait. Where are you going to go? I'm telling you that wherever you pitch your tent in this world, if there's ever anybody else around, you are going to see things that you shouldn't see, and you're going to hear things that you shouldn't hear. You know you do. The problem is, and this is where we're headed this morning, the problem is if you're not adding to your faith virtue and temperance and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, if God is not increasing his influence in your life, then the world is going to be increasing their influence on your life, whether you're participating or not. You say, "Well, we don't go to bars." Yeah, but if you don't go to church, you're being influenced negatively. "We don't go to dirty movies." But if you're not going to church, you're being influenced negatively. You know, you're being pushed in another direction. See, people think, as long as I don't go so far as to engage in the really bad stuff, I'm okay. The Lord says, if you don't go so far as to be influenced and participating in the really good stuff, you are being influenced. You don't even realize you're being influenced. You say, "Well, how do you know?" Well, just look. I mean, 30 years ago, they wouldn't have even considered putting the billboards on the highways that they're putting on highways today. Maybe not in Kuwait, but anywhere else you go where there's a little bit where it's a little bit more liberal, you've got to close your eyes while you're driving to not look at those billboards in your face. They never would have put those things 30 years ago. Nakedness up there. 30 years ago, somebody would have screamed about that. You know it. Why aren't they screaming now? Because they've gotten used to it. There used to be, you know this is true, there used to be a list this long of words that you were not allowed to say on broadcast TV and broadcast radio. Now here in Kuwait, you hear these words you wouldn't expect to hear in a Muslim country. They're getting loose about that, even here in Kuwait. Why isn't anybody screaming? Why isn't anybody protesting? Because you get used to it. People just get used to it. Believers get used to it. I'm telling you, if you are not diligently pursuing the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit, you are unconsciously being influenced by the unholy spirit of this world, whether you realize it or not. It was not a sin to pitch your tent towards Sodom. It was a sin to not seek the holiness and righteousness of God on a daily basis, no matter where you live. They say, "Well, Lot went bad because he pitched his tent towards Sodom." Well, Abraham didn't. And if Abraham hadn't given him the choice, maybe he would have picked that land. You know, but Abraham didn't pitch his tent towards Sodom, but we see he went bad in chapter 20 in his dealings with Abimelech and his wife. It's not your environment. It's you. Think about it. We support missionaries in various countries with varying degrees of dangers and temptations. Do you think those places are going to shut down all the bad stuff in those places So the Christian missionary's family isn't influenced in an evil way? I mean, look, the influence is there. You have to devote yourself to a contrary, a different influence, a better influence, a higher influence, God's influence, or else you're going to be moved the other way. Boy, I say stuff from the pulpit and people think I'm crazy. They think I'm some kind of fanatic. I'm telling you, 7 nights of prayer and Bible study it's bound to have a good effect on your spiritual life. And 7 nights of Hollywood television is bound to have a harmful effect on your spiritual life. A harmful effect. I don't care what you say. It just has to be true. It has to be that way. You're not going through this thing unaffected. Lot did not participate, but he was affected. Lot did not engage, but what he saw and what he heard moved him and moved his wife and moved his children and moved his in-laws, even though he didn't like it. Come on, how many people do you talk to? Sit down in a coffee shop tomorrow, why don't you? Or sit down at McDonald's tomorrow. Sit down at break time on your job tomorrow. You know, don't witness to them. Just say, how do you think things are going? What do you think about all this crime, all this violence, all this terrorism, and you know, all the things going on in the world? How do you think things are going? You know, what do you think about all that, the stuff you see every time you turn on the news channel? You know what they'll all say? I mean, listen, just about everybody you talk to is going to say, I don't like the way things are going. And then you say, well, okay, then can I talk to you about Jesus? No, man, I don't want that stuff. You know what? They are negatively affected and hurt by and bothered by what they're not even participating in, but they keep getting pushed farther and farther and farther into the sewer because they won't engage in something better. I challenge you to write me a list of 10 things that your president absolutely, unreservedly stands for and will not bend on those 10 things. I can tell you the American president, when he was elected, you know, he just said, it's not any good, so let me change it. And look, that's not criticism of him. That's an acknowledgement that the majority of people in a good nation think that things are not good and that things need to be fixed or changed. Okay, because they voted for the guy who promised change. And you say, well, what about Jesus Christ? Well, no, I don't want him. Well, then you know what you're going to get? You're going to get pushed farther and farther and farther into what has already made you unhappy and fearful and discontented. And that's what happened to Lot. So look at Genesis 19. How can a man's latter end be worse than his beginning if he doesn't devote himself to spiritual growth? Genesis 19 verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So what you learn about Lot there is that he hasn't lost his manners. He gave them a polite and very humble greeting. Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. Why did they come to Lot's house? I mean, he's on their side. He welcomed them into his home. That's a gracious thing to do. come into my house, man. Don't stay down there. Don't stay over there. Don't sleep out over there. Come to my house. And they said, nay, which means no, no thanks. nay, but we will abide in the street all night. They didn't want to come in. Now they came to him, but they didn't want to fellowship with him in the condition that he was in, even though he's not participating. He has been influenced. He's been moved. He's been altered. Okay? Verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. That is a roving band of homosexuals wanting to engage in depraved activities with these two men that came to town. Now, you think your country has some problems? It's got a ways to go. It might be bad, but I don't think it's that bad. It might be awful. You think it's awful, but don't say it can't get any worse. You see it pretty, this is pretty bad. People will say, I think, man, Jesus has got to come because things can't get any worse. Don't say that. You might find yourself disappointed. Things can get worse, as bad as they are. Verse 5, and they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And if you go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's pretty clear what that's all about. Okay, that's a carnal knowledge they're looking for. They want to be intimate with these men. Okay, that's what they mean by know them. They don't want to just shake their hand and say, how are you doing? They want to be with them intimately. Verse number 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. All right, now listen, I'm not defending Lot. I'm trying to get you to see Lot the way the Bible describes him, not as we have presented him for our own purposes. He is not part of that gang, you see. He's not one of them. He's got a wife. He's got daughters. He's not out in the street trying to get at those men. He's out in the street protecting those men, those angels. He's not gone as far as they have gone. But the problem is he hadn't been seeking the Lord while he's in that town. And that's had a great effect on him. Now, take a look. The Bible says in verse number 7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And you think so low of Lot right now. I know you do. You say, how could a man possibly do that to his daughters? Well, think about it. I think it's a pretty safe thing to do. There isn't one guy out there banging on the door who wants his daughters, and he knows that. So I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it's not as bad as you might think it is, if you stop and consider. If you consider who it is he's offering his daughters to. I mean, the only guys out there are the fashion designers and the dancers and the beauticians, but but listen, he's not participating. But Don't you think you would have been better off to go back in the house and say, hey, angels, I think we need to get in touch with God. Angels, we're in a bind here. We need God. We need God's help. See, but it's not even crossed his mind. He's not seeking the Lord at all. He's not calling on God. He's not praying. He's not looking to heaven for his help. He's trying to use his smarts, his intellect to outwit those guys out there. Trying to think, how can I get rid of those guys and protect my guests? See, he's walking after his own devices and not seeking God's help. And so the Bible says in verse number 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. You know what that tells me? That tells me Lot is not in agreement with those guys outside. They know that he's not in agreement with them because they're criticizing him.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
That's what they're saying. Hey, Lot, who are you to judge us? What makes you better than us? Now, look, all I'm saying is Lot is not part of it. But he's not part of serving God either. He's not in with the band of roving perverts, but he's not in prayer and fellowship and seeking the face of God. He's just a man that's got a righteous soul because he believed in God one day, and he's trying to get through a wicked world the best he can without God. So they say, now, these wicked men say, now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, that's the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I just can't believe that. I mean, that's a bunch of sickos there. It's pretty sick when you think about it. They get smote with blindness, and they still don't repent. You know, people say, boy, I'll tell you what, if God ever puts judgment on this nation, then they'll turn to him. God needs to judge this nation, so we'll turn to him. But don't count on it. He scorches them with fire in the great tribulation, and they shake their fist at him and blaspheme his name. The Bible says the goodness of God, that's what leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God. The wrath of God and the judgment of God, that'll just make you hate him all the more. And these guys didn't repent, didn't even think about it. Verse 12 says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law? And now these men here, that's the angels speaking to Lot in the house. Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. Waxen means become, grown. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, so he's got other daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, he's not participating, but he's been influenced. He doesn't like what they're doing, but he has not stood for God. Well, Enoch, here, there's a man who stood for God. Boy, I tell you, if Enoch had said the same thing Lot said, hey, you guys are ungodly, they might have gotten mad at him. But they would never say he's a phony. They didn't buy into Noah's preaching, but they never called him a hypocrite. But you see here, Lot has no testimony. He's righteous, but nobody else knows that. He's godly on the inside, but it's never showed up on the outside. And Lot's sons-in-law, they're thinking, "Now wait a minute, you telling me God's going to destroy the city because we're not right with God, and he's going to get you out? What exactly? Why would God get you out? No difference between you and us." See, here's the thing. It's good to go through this wicked world and not participate in their wickedness. But if you are not standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody knows you're any different. Nobody knows that you're not a part of it. Nobody knows that you're not just one more pervert or one more criminal or one more dope addict who's just a little bit more reserved than the others. You have got to stand up for Jesus, or else nobody's going to know what side you're on. I didn't say that everybody who doesn't stand up for the Lord is on the devil's side. I just said nobody knows that you're not. Okay? Verse 15. "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, 'Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.' And while he lingered," he has been influenced, you see. While he lingered, he's been affected. Why would he want to stay there when it's going to be destroyed? And he knows it. You say, well, he had family there that weren't going to leave. Well, you know, think about it. The day comes when you've so ruined your testimony, you know, that you can't take them with you. You can't take your family with you. And in one day, the rapture is going to take place. And if you haven't won your family to Jesus Christ, well, you can't stay here. You can't stay here and deal with them again during the tribulation. You're gone. Okay. Once the Lord's voice thunders, the Bible says you won't be able to stay. You're leaving, and they're staying. It says, "While he lingered, the men, these angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him." See, he did not deserve this escape, this great escape. It's just God's mercy. "And they brought him forth and set him without the city," without, outside the city walls there. And verse 17, "And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, 'Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed.' And Lot said unto them, 'Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live.'" All right, so look at this. He just couldn't give it up. He couldn't bear the thought of living without that city life in Sodom. You know, if God's going to destroy the big city because of its wickedness, maybe he won't destroy a little one. And so people say, similar things. I don't commit the big sins, but can't I take the little ones with me? So look what has happened to the man. He's not been a full participant in that sin, but he has been influenced to the point, all right, listen, to the point where he's more comfortable living like the world than he is living with God alone. Boy, the average Christian, if you unplug their play toys and unplug their amusement and just left them with God and the church and the Bible and witnessing, they'd go cuckoo. they'd go crazy. I mean, you know why? They're justified. They're saved. They've got a righteous soul. They are going to be raptured. Yes, but they've been so influenced by the world, they don't even realize it. And they won't realize it until it's gone, till it's taken away, till it's just cut off. You know, for example, a hurricane comes through town and people lose all their power. Electricity's gone, but you still got, you know, praise God, you got your wife, you got your kids, you got your Bible, you got your tracts, and you know, but you go crazy. People go crazy after about 12 hours. You know why? Because they're comfortable. What they're comfortable with has been taken away. There's no entertainment. So the Bible says Lot wants to get in a little one. That little city's wicked too, and it's on the list to be destroyed as well. But Lot figures, well, it's a little one, so maybe God can overlook the little one. Verse 21, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither. Okay, so Lot gets his way. And God will let you have what you want. What you want. And so people say, oh, I believe if it's not God's will, he'll stop me. All right? You ever hear anybody say that? You can't find that in the Bible. God's not going to stop you from sinning. That's your job. Okay. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. No. And then it says, but his wife looked back from behind him. So if he's not looking back, he doesn't even know what happened to his wife, right? Until he gets all the way out of there. And she became a pillar of salt. Okay, so now look at this. She, his wife, doesn't get out on Lot's faith. She had some, or she wouldn't have got out. She's delivered, 1 Peter 1. She's escaped, 1 Peter 1. She has been redeemed. She's been brought forth. She has been fully separated by God's grace and mercy from that which is defiling and from that which destroys. But in her heart, she wants that and not that. Okay? And in Sodom, she had her husband. In Sodom, she had her children. In Sodom, she had an opportunity to call on God. In Sodom, she had an opportunity to fellowship with God. In Sodom, she had an opportunity to be an influence and a testimony for God. You know something? She got out. And her latter end, wouldn't you agree, her latter end was worse than her beginning. She was worse off after she got out than she was when she was down there. She's a pillar of salt. So what's she going to do now? Is she going to get right? Is she going to repent? Can she turn over a new leaf? Can she tell God she's sorry now? You know, can she fix things up with her family? She's worse off now than she was before God brought her out. Why? Because she had a choice. I can go on or I can go back. And instead of diligently pursuing what God had in the future for her and her family, she decided to pursue what the flesh had in the past. And her latter end was worse than her beginning. Did you get saved at 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old? I'm glad you did. But you might live till you're 80, teenager. You might live till you're 80, young man, young woman. You'd better decide which direction you want to go right now. In this life, you can be worse off than you were before you got saved. People say, well, I don't have much of a testimony because I never got into all that stuff before I got saved. Well, you know what? You can get into it after you got saved. You know, and I think it's a great testimony to say, I was never in it, I've never been in it, and by the grace of God, I'll never be in it, in that sin. But it's obviously possible to be worse off in this life after you were delivered than you were before you got delivered. So let's keep reading. Verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. All right, so there's your first caveman. They drew little buffalo stick figures on the wall. Okay. Verse 31. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. His daughters, they got out, but oh, how they were obviously influenced by the wicked things that they saw and the wicked things that they heard. They didn't say, let's pray. They didn't say, let's thank God for delivering us. They didn't say, let's build an altar and offer a sacrifice unto God. That's what Noah did when he got out of the ark. That's what Abraham did when the smoking furnace went by. That's what Abraham and Isaac did when they came down off the mountain. Lot's daughters got out. But all those years of the world's influence are now coming to bear fruit in the life of his daughters. As far as we know, they never participated in Sodom, but they sure did learn about it. So look what the Bible says. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Now, may I say to you this morning, I don't believe there's a young lady, saved or lost, that would ever have thought like that on her own. I just don't believe it. I know the devil tempts people, and I know the devil puts things in people's minds, and I know the devil allures good people to do bad things. I bet you, if you searched this world, you couldn't find a young lady that had a thought like that, a plan like that, a scheme like that, unless she had that thought introduced to her from an external source. If Lot saw it, if Lot saw those things every day, you know his daughters did too. If Lot heard it every day, you know his daughters did too. So let me ask you something, brother. Let me ask you something, sister. And you can call me a fanatic if you want to. But are you going to tell me that your children can sit night after night after night and watch programs that say and teach fornication is okay, adultery is okay, homosexuality is okay, and if you don't think so, you're the one with the problem, and that thought not get in their heart and in their mind? Why would you do that? Why would you introduce your children to country and western music? Why would you introduce them to secular music? Why would you introduce them to rock and roll music? I mean, why would you put those thoughts in their heart and mind that would not be there otherwise? Why vex them? Well, I don't think it's all that bad. We're not doing what they're singing about, and we're not going to those kinds of places. All right, guess what? Lot didn't either. His daughters didn't either. But let me tell you, you're diligently pursuing righteousness, or you're diligently pursuing unrighteousness. And somewhere down the road, it's going to turn up in your life. You know what the Bible said in 2 Peter? They're blind because they don't see afar off. All they see is right now. You know, and parents complain. They say, well, you know, if I don't let the kids do those things, I know it's wrong, they shouldn't do it, but if I don't let my kids do it, they're going to give me a hard time. Have you looked down that road of the results of your giving in to their rebellion? Okay. Well, they want to. And when I was a kid, I didn't get to do those things. And, you know, it's warped me. It's messed me up. And I was just unhappy all my life because I didn't get to do those things. And, you know, and okay, fine. But why don't you just let that be your problem? Don't create problems for your kids. You know, sometimes those of us who did grow up out there in the world, unsaved, I guess maybe we're a little bit harder on our kids because we've done all that stuff and we know what that stuff will do to us and we're ashamed of it. But I know a lot, you know it too, there's a lot of people who grew up in good Christian homes and Christian schools even, and they stayed separated their whole young life, and they resent not ever having even a little taste of sin. And they say, well, so I'm not going to make my kids miss out on everything like I did, like I missed out on everything. So I'm just going to let them go to their high school dance, their prom, and rub their bosom up against their boyfriend's chest and let him put his hands around her and behind her where they don't belong, and let them snuggle a little bit and who knows what else after that. Why? I mean, there's time for that after the exchange of rings and of vows, marriage vows. You're meddling now. Why don't you mind your own business, Brother Bob? This is my business. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a plumber. This is my business. My business is telling you that road leads somewhere. And the influence of things that you see and hear and go along with and don't speak out against, it might not show up today or tomorrow or the next day, but God said you need to be influencing your life and your family's life with godly things, because that world, it's influencing your life and your family's life and with ungodly things every single day, and you know it. They never stop. The world never stops with that influence. Verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. You know, I thank God some of you are free from dope now. I thank God that you're not doing drugs anymore. You wouldn't dare take your kids down and sit them down to spend an evening in a crack house, a drug house. Okay? So why would you let them watch a movie about people in a crack house? I thank God some of you aren't drinking anymore. Praise God you're free from the booze and liquor, and you're not going to have any liquor in your house except on TV shows, except on commercials during the broadcast of your favorite sporting event. Why encourage the influence? Why invite vexation? So you say, can the latter end be worse than the beginning? Verse 33. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. See, they try to make themselves feel better with that little phrase there, make them think it's not bad, they're doing a good thing when they know it's wrong. Verse 35, and they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. I'm almost done. Some of you probably wish I was done a long time ago. He's in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's not participating. God, by his grace and mercy, delivers him from Sodom and Gomorrah. And he ends up worse off after he was delivered than he was when he was down there in that city. You know what 2 Peter says? Don't you dare sit there and say, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. And once saved, always saved. As long as I know I'm going to heaven, that's good enough. That's a fool's talk. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to go to heaven clean, with my marriage intact, and my kids sane, and my friends living godly lives, and having had an influence for Jesus in this life. I don't want to just go to heaven. You say, bless God, me and my family, we go to church, and we're Christians, and we'd never dot, dot, dot. You don't believe the Bible if you say, we'd never. Because you sure can. You can too. You ought to see where some people are today that used to faithfully attend church all their young lives. You ought to see what their kids are doing. Their 5 and 6 and 7 year olds. You ought to see them now at 16 and 17. They would have punched the preacher in the nose if he would have said, you know, your son's going to end up doing that, your daughter's going to end up going there. But there they are. There they are. Their latter end is worse than their beginning. And they're saved. Those kids are doing things now as saved kids that they were not doing before they got saved. Now listen, this is I agree this is probably the grossest chapter in all the Bible. Did you know that what Lot and his family are doing in that cave, do you know that would have been considered perverted by the homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah? Come on, I mean, it might have been bad down there in Sodom, but they weren't doing that. A man with a man, yeah, that's pretty sick. But a man fathering children with his own daughters? I mean, if it's possible to step down from homosexuality, that is a step down. And how many times have you knocked on a door to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? And no, they didn't say, you know, I quit church because of that preacher's doctrine. They didn't say, I quit church because that deacon board, they didn't believe such and such about Matthew 24. They say, here's what they say. They say, those people, I left church because those people who claim to be church leaders did things that I would never do. Isn't that true? Isn't that right? That's what you hear mostly. That's the excuses people have mostly. Because Lot was doing things those Sodomites would never do. And he knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. So brother, you don't need to just be saved. You need to be diligently adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Because if not, you're going to lose your long-range vision. And if you do add those things, you can live. You can live in a world of vice and a world of sin and a world of depravity and a world of filth and a world of dirt and never, never fall. Never fall. And I tell you, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to get to the end of my life here on this earth having been true to my wife, true to my sons, true to my friends, and true to my God. I don't want to end my life in shame and say, well, that doesn't matter as long as I'm saved. It does matter. It does matter. It matters to you and to God and to everybody around you. You say, well, I don't believe somebody would be worse off after they got saved than they were before. You just read it. Okay? This isn't talking about eternal things. You still have eternal lives. It's talking about in this life. You can mess up this life. So it's not fun and you're ashamed. Okay? You're either influenced by unrighteousness or influenced by righteousness. And the reason you need to be here whenever the doors are open, the reason you need to be under the preaching of God's Word, and the reason you need to respond properly to the preaching of God's Word, and the reason you need to stay in Christian fellowship is because that world, it's not going to stop trying to push you in the wrong direction, and you need to make sure that you're getting sufficient push in the right direction to at least counter that, because it's there and it's pushing now. Is that fair? All right. So this is a cheerful message to start our day. Hey, countries don't get into a big mess because everybody's going to hell. they get in such a big mess because the people who are going to heaven can't be distinguished from the people that are going to hell. You can't tell one from the other. And we need more Noahs and less Lots. All right, I'll say this and then I'm done. When you read what Jesus said in Luke about as it was in the days of Lot, not one thing on that list that Jesus gives, not one thing is sinful. None of those activities are sinful. He said that they were buying, not a sin. Selling, that's not a sin. Eating, that's not a sin, praise the Lord. Drinking, okay, not boozing, but drinking water and juice, okay, not a sin. Marrying, not a sin. Giving in marriage, not a sin. And the fire and brimstone destroyed them all. You say, why? Because their only influence was the material things of this world. They had no influence from God to push them in the right direction. What are you reading, Christian? What are you listening to, Christian? Who do you spend your time with, Christian? What are you doing on Monday night? What are you doing on your day off? You're being influenced. Every hour of the day, you are being influenced. And I hope it's the right influence. Amen. Would you stand? We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing to us that, yes, it is possible for a believer, one who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and has eternal life, it is possible for that believer to be so influenced by this world that they take a great fall, a great shameful fall, and in this life worse off than they started this life before they were saved. I just pray, Lord, that you have been speaking to all of our hearts and given us all the desire to seek the great influence of God and holy things that God has provided for us to influence us so that we can overcome the influences that are in this world and we can end our days ready and eager to meet our Lord in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.